Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
They said it would never happen. They told us it could never, ever, never, never, no way, no how, no chance happen. Yet it happened. Joe Biden pardoned his son, his idiot crackhead son, his corrupt, idiotic crackhead son. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and thank you for being part of the show. We appreciate it very, very much. They told us it was never going to happen. I would like to play this for you. This is really good here. Let's see. This is a little montage of Democrats, including the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, election denier, Raphael Warnock, the penguin, Jerry Nadler, Pramila Jayapal. Is she the one who sleeps with her brother, or is that the other one? No, it's the other one.
That's Ilhan Omar.
Right. That's the other squad member. That's right. Hakeem Jeffries, who's just a dope, and more. No one's above the law. Cut number six.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
Nobody is above the law.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
Nobody is above the law.
No one 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 is above the law.
Did you add that, Justin, at the end, the Curb Your Enthusiasm music?
I did not. I was already there, surprisingly. Good
they
choice,
stole
though.
Your idea. That was your idea.
I will give them that. It was a great idea.
It
Curb
was
Your
a great
Enthusiasm
idea.
Theme adds just that little extra je ne sais quoi to everything.
I love that I have an associate producer that could say je ne sais quoi. That's part of the job requirement, you know. Corporate media, obviously, Biden would never ever pardon Hunter Biden. Tom Elliott of Grabian put together the ultimate supercut. It's over 9.5 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you, but he did a masterful job. A masterful job. Tom Elliott's great. You should follow him on X. Guy's really, spot on about everything, and he puts a lot of stuff on Grabian. He even puts me a clip, clips of me on there too. But he puts these supercuts together. This is outstanding. And I can't play the whole thing, but I did retweet it. You should look at it when you get a chance. But here's a portion of it for your viewing and listening pleasure, cut number six or seven.
The presidential promise to put the law before a family.
I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Letting the world know that he will not wipe away the decision of 12 of his son's peers was asked directly, and he has said he wouldn't pardon his son if he gets convicted.
Let's wait and see what happens if he loses.
Yeah, but he said it.
He's going to get pardoned by his dad. There's no question about that.
The president has ruled out pardoning his son.
Major commitment from the president, accepting the outcome of the trial and also pledging not to pardon his son.
So the challenge for him is really to continue to live up to his values when it was really personal, and he did that today.
It seems like a pretty normal, straightforward answer, but it takes new weight when we see what Trump is saying about the outcome of his trial, what we're hearing from other Republicans who say they don't accept the jury's verdict here in New York.
The contrast is profound. To sit there and say, well, I'm not going to intervene in the legal process and I wouldn't pardon my son. One side, Democrats and Joe Biden protecting the justice system. And on the other, Republicans and Trump protecting Trump.
A current president of the United States has so much respect for the law that he has said he would not pardon his son. I mean, what, you know, again, it's all about the contrast.
President Biden saying, I will respect whatever this jury decides. That's versus right. Donald Trump after he was convicted on 34 counts, saying the entire system is rigged against him.
Their latest attack has been that Joe Biden has politicized and weaponized the DOJ, right? That was the whole argument around Donald Trump's conviction. And this week, of course, Hunter Biden was found guilty. And Joe Biden has very clearly said he would not pardon his son. He would not commute his sentence. How stark is this difference? I mean, how can Republicans keep making this argument now that now that Joe Biden has really put it out there? Where's Hunter? Mm-hmm. And he stood there in a courtroom flanked by his family and he's accepted his sentence.
He is not pardoning his son. Which he could do. These are federal charges. Right. He is not doing that. He is not doing it because he is living what it means to have a rule of law in this country.
Rule of law. Rule of law. This is an amazing clip. You have to watch this, too. It's great. This is Representative Dan Goldman, who's a giant dope. And in this particular clip, he sits like a fool as CNN's Breonna Keeler. Breonna Keeler plays an old clip of him saying there is no way President Biden would pardon his son Hunter. So he's sitting there and the CNN anchor plays the clip of him saying there's no way Biden would ever pardon his son Hunter. Goldman at the time said Biden would never do something like that, unlike his predecessor. Take a watch and a listen.
In July of 2023, just after that plea deal fell through, this is what you said. I want to watch.
Do you think a pardon for his son would be a mistake?
Yes, and I don't think there's any chance that President Biden is going to do that, unlike his predecessor, who pardoned all of his friends and anyone who had any access to him. And I think you see that in this case, where he kept on, and Merrick Garland kept on, a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney to investigate the president's son. If there is not an indication of the independence of the Department of Justice beyond that, I don't know what we could look for.
What does that feel like, watching yourself back then, reassuring people that Biden was not going to issue a pardon for his son?
Yeah, and I think that if that plea agreement and that plea deal had gone through, there would be no pardon. That was a satisfactory outcome.
It had already fallen
that
through.
Only was. Sorry?
Well, when you reacted, this was when the deal had fallen through.
Oh man, that is brutal. That guy's got to sit there and watch himself, and then he lies about himself, and she's like, no, that happened after. Oof. That is literally coming home from a strip club and being like, I was not in a strip club. As dollar bills and a G-string fall out of your pocket, you're like, and then a business card of the strip card attached to the G-string falls out. You're like, and then a stripper walks in with you. It was like, I just met your, is it your husband? I met him tonight at the strip club, where I was working tonight at the strip club. Oof, that's awkward. That is awkward. This is an amazing time we're living in. It really is. I want to get into Kash Patel, too. He's going to be a great FBI director. I hope to God he gets in. I really do. I hope to God he gets in, because he's going to disrupt the FBI in a gigantic way, in a way we have not comprehended. And just the nomination of Kash Patel makes me happy. And this is our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we're going to be live for our next show on December 20th. Hard to believe it's only a couple weeks away. It's going to be our Zioli Christmas Spectacular. on ice at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So book a holiday season family splash package, and the longer you stay, the more you save. Make memories to last a lifetime. Visit GrandHotelKMay.com for all the details. And please join us on December 20th for our next live show. Before I get into Cash Patel, though, let me go to Christian, who has a prediction on Hunter Biden. Yes, Christian.
Yes, sir. First off, that's probably the greatest analogy of anything I've ever heard. The strip club analogy. So well done. You win.
Thank you. Not that that's ever happened to me. I want to make that point very, very clear.
I'm sure I would never. I would never think that.
Thank you.
So here's what's going to happen, and here's how the Dems are going to spin this: is that Trump's Department of Justice and FBI and ABC is going to be so predatory and so dangerous that Biden had to do this because that's how dangerous all of these people are going to be.
Yep.
And there's no way he could have ever gotten a fair shake. So again, they'll put everything back on Trump and what they're going to be doing. And that's why this will be excusable. And that's the only reason, is that it's Trump. And that's the reason why he had to intervene.
I think you're spot on. I think your prediction is exactly right. And, you know, what else could he do as a loving father who already lost the son? He's got it. He has no choice. It's his only surviving child. He has to do, you know, only surviving son. He has to do this.
It's going to be very interesting to see if they lean on any other family members, mostly his brother, to see if they... if they go after anything for that, because I think his brother is very vulnerable, and that will be a very interesting kind of time for the Bidens to see what shakes out after that too, because his brother is dirty as all the rest of them.
Oh, he is so dirty. I mean, there's stuff with that guy with schools and health care. I mean, that he's one of the worst of the worst. So I guess the question is, what statute of limitations would protect him? And, you know, and then state crimes and, you know, all the other stuff. I do hope, which I don't know if you heard the interview with Professor John Yoo earlier, but it will be interesting to see if there's anything they can get Hunter on a state level. That would be interesting to see.
That's a really good question. But the fact that it all goes back to 2014, which is exactly when he got in bed with Burisma,
yep.
I mean, that's not an accident. But I would be interested to see if anybody else wants him. There's always that too. If he committed crimes in other countries, and if there's an extradition thing on the table, I don't know. That's very, very, very hypothetical and unlikely, but it could happen.
Hey, listen, if you are an up-and-coming U.S. attorney, or not U.S. attorney, but state attorney general, and you want to make a case and Hunter may have committed a crime in your state, and it didn't, you know, the statute of limitations hasn't lapped, go for it. This is your time, you know. Christian, excellent call. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. You have a great rest of your day.
Well, yeah, you too, sir. Take care.
All right. Yeah, look, the timing of this pardon, just so you understand, in case you're just joining me, it starts at 2014. Which is when Hunter joined the board of Burisma, and Joe Biden was given the Ukraine portfolio from Barack Obama. So in the first part of the show today, I outlined how all of this happened, the timeline and everything. I went through it all, you know, going backwards and forwards and telling the whole story, how it all happened. But just so you understand, this pardon is anything and everything the Hunter Biden may or may not have done from 2014 up until, you know, the other night at midnight. Joe Biden had the Ukraine portfolio. You remember Joe Biden going, we played this clip a million times, so I'm not going to play it again, but going over there and threatening that if the prosecutor's not fired, he's going to take back the $1 billion and basically extorting the country of Ukraine. And they fired the prosecutor who was investigating his son's company, Burisma, you know. So all of this, by pardoning Hunter, it's a pardon for Joe Biden. Joe Biden is pardoning Joe Biden. It sounds like it's a pardon for Hunter, but make sure you understand exactly what I'm saying here. This is a pardon for Joe Biden. Just like that plea agreement, which I told you then and I'm telling you now, please don't call it a sweetheart deal, because it was not a sweetheart deal. It was a deal to cover up the financial crimes of the president of the United States, Joe Biden. This pardon is to cover up the financial crimes of the president of the United States, Joe Biden. He doesn't give a damn about his son, And he would let his son go to prison if his son could keep his mouth shut. But he can't. He's a squealer. That's the truth. That's where we are. Ed is in Delran. I'm sure he's got a poem for us. Hello, Ed.
You know it. I got a poem for you. Hey, Rich Zeoli and Matt DeSantis are giving us the truth and the proof as good as it came from the Book of Ruth.
That is very, very good. Well done, yes. I think.
And I don't ever want to be misunderstood. So listen, I predicted this on 1210 more than once that Biden was going to give this pardon. I saw it just like you did, a mile away. So look, I got a great analogy for Joe Biden and Donald Trump. You want to hear it?
Yes.
You'll love it.
Okay.
Donald Trump, as president-elect, is already playing chess. And Joe Biden, or Joe Bite Me, as I call him, is such a mess, he can't even play checkers.
I see what you did there. Very well done, Ed. I appreciate it. And thank you for making Matt DeSantis giggle.
I always
have fun. All right, buddy.
All right.
You have a great day. And Matt, you point out about Representative Dan Goldman. What was the point you wanted to make about him?
Oh, I think it's important that we always note this because I think it's hilarious, but he's one of the richest members of Congress, maybe the richest. He's worth $250 million. I don't think he worked for any of it. He's the heir to the Levi Strauss throne, but he's been accused of not paying rent on his luxury apartment, which is $180,000 a month, which is wild.
$180,000 a month?
Yeah, but I guess it's kind of free for him since he's not paying the bill.
And I hear he's the heir to Levi Strauss, but he only wears mom jeans. It's no joke. I've been calling him out on that for years. Oh, man. So stupid. All right. Let me see. I got another call here. This is great. This is a good way to start the week. 855-839-1210. Glenn is in Southampton, New Jersey. Glenn, how are you?
Good, Rich. How are you making? How are you doing?
I'm good, you're buddy. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I certainly did. Very good.
Excellent.
Very thankful. Very good.
Excellent.
Year.
Good.
I have a feeling that there's going to be another pardon that's going to be coming real soon, and it's going to be viewed as just as egregious as Hunter. And it deals with our Senator Bob Menendez. Because I think Goldbar is not going to go to prison quietly. It's going to be fun to watch to see how...
Interesting. See, I don't know if I agree, only because I think the only reason why they went after him is because he crossed Biden on the Iran deal.
Exactly.
So I don't think Biden would pardon him. I think he wants to see him rot.
Well, Bob's going to be singing because he knows where the dead bodies are.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And it's just going to just be another black eye for Biden, but it's going to be fun to watch, Rich.
The Jersey way, Glenn, the Jersey way. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving. And yeah, it's great, the holiday. We put up our tree this weekend. I have to tell you, too, it's great. Many people have commented on my Cooking with Reagan videos, which are on Instagram. I'm going to do that more regularly with her. It's a blast. It really is a lot of fun. We weren't able to get around to it this weekend, but we did the tree this weekend and the elf came back. Yes, this morning we woke up and Claire and Reagan ran out there. Remember, Claire's 8, Reagan's 4, and they ran out there and they saw where we have the tree up and there's the elf on top. They said, Dad, the elf came back. So they're super excited about it. Yeah, we did the tree thing. We decorated for Christmas because my rule is always the day after Thanksgiving is when you rock and roll. So that's what we did. The lights, all of it. And there'll be a lot of Cooking with Reagan videos this holiday season because she's a little ham and she likes to make her toe pasta. And I did a wild boar ragu last night. I was going to have her help me, but she was too busy decorating the tree all by herself. She went in there and she got on a little stool and hung all the ornaments. So the tree is 9 feet tall. Because we have this sunroom that has a really tall roof on it. Reagan went in there and stepped on this little stool and put all the ornaments on the tree. So all the ornaments are on the first, like, 3 or 4 feet of the tree. And then the other 5 feet of the tree, there's nothing. There's no ornaments whatsoever. But it was the cutest thing. And obviously we went in there later and kind of moved some of those ornaments up a little higher on the tree since some of them are breakable. Not the Alaska one. if you were on the Alaska trip with me, because it's not an ornament. I got everyone on the Alaska trip an ornament, but it's actually not an ornament. It's a long story. You had to be there, but it was the cutest thing in the world. So there she is putting all the ornaments on the tree, and she was so focused on this. Then she ran in. She said, Dad, look, I put all the ornaments on the tree. And yeah, they were literally at like her height, and maybe a little bit above, because she's on a little stool. Cutest thing. Then the rest of the tree, just tree. That's all it is, just tree. So funny. But we'll have a lot of more of the cooking with Reagan videos coming up. Let's see. I want to play this clip for you now. This is Senator Ted Cruz commenting on Kash Patel, who I think will be an awesome FBI director. I have some clips of Kash Patel, too, that I want to play. But here's what you got to know about this guy. He's supremely qualified. He has a deep, deep, extensive background in national security and the Defense Department. And Kash Patel understands exactly what we're up against, which is the deep state, the power of the deep state, and how it is corrupt through the core. It really reminds me what he says about the FBI building, which I'll play you in a clip, really reminds me of what Captain America says in The Winter Soldier when he says, Shield, Hydra, it all goes. Because the corruption is so deep to the core, the rot in our federal government. But here's Senator Ted Cruz, cut number 9.
Kash Patel, suggested by President Trump as the new leader of the FBI. How enthusiastic are you about that?
Listen, I think Kash Patel is a very strong nominee. I think the entire slate of cabinet nominees President Trump has put forward is very strong. I believe every one of these cabinet nominees is going to be confirmed by the Senate. I think Kash Patel is going to be confirmed by the Senate. You look at his background. He has a serious professional background. He was a prosecutor. He was a public defender. He was a senior intelligence staffer on Capitol Hill. He was a senior intelligence staffer in the White House. He was the chief of staff of the Department of Defense. He was the deputy director of national intelligence. And I got to say, all of the weeping and gnashing of teeth, all of the people pulling their hair out, are exactly the people who are dismayed about having a real reformer come into the FBI and clean out the corrupted partisans who sadly have burrowed into senior career positions at the FBI. The FBI and the Department of Justice are two institutions incredibly important to the rule of law in the United States. I revere both. And one of the most tragic consequences of 4 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is both DOJ and the FBI have been politicized and weaponized. And I think Kash Patel is a very strong nominee to take on the partisan corruption in the FBI.
Even in a piece largely slamming Patel's nomination, no surprise there, it's the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal concedes the following, quote, Patel worked as a federal prosecutor and served in several senior national security roles, experiences not uncommon in the background of an FBI director. They're acting like he's some kid that just walked in the room. He's supremely qualified for this. And some of the things he's going to go after include questions that, say, Senator Ted Cruz never got answers to. This is a throwback to when Senator Ted Cruz asked this question regarding Ray Epps. Remember him? He was the guy that said on January 5th, tomorrow we go in the Capitol. We go in the Capitol. That guy. Never got answers to that. I got a feeling we're going to get some answers to that with Kash Patel in there. Not just about Ray Epps, but other people who are on part of the team on January 6th. And other plots that the FBI did to basically entrap Americans into crimes by making them commit the crimes, by urging them to commit the crimes. True, absolute entrapment, like what we saw with Michigan with the faux kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. But here's Senator Ted Cruz, cut number 10.
Who is Ray Epps?
Epps.
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol. This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, Fed, 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 Fed. Ms. Sanborn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next day, on January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
Can't answer it. That was an FBI hack, obviously. That was Assistant Director of the National Security Branch of the FBI, Jill Sanborn. Here's a little flashback. FBI Director Christopher Wray has to be very, very careful about what he says regarding FBI agents and employees on the ground on January the 6th. Cut 13.
Does the FBI have confidential human sources? Did the FBI have confidential human sources embedded within the January 6th protesters on January 6th of 2021?
Well, Congressman, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to be very careful about what I can say about when.
Even now, because that's what you told us 2 years ago.
May I finish? About when we do and do not, and where we have and have not used confidential human sources. But to the extent that there's a suggestion, for example, that the FBI's confidential human sources or FBI employees in some way instigated or orchestrated January 6th, that's categorically false.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being open?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no. Can you not tell the American people, no, we did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol?
Gentlemen's time has expired.
You should not read anything into my decision not to share information.
Director Wray,
confidential human
gentleman's sources. Time has expired.
And by the way, we're streaming this live on YouTube, so if you're watching along, you can comment along, too, and you'll see some of these clips that Kirk has spent a lot of time loading up for us, which we appreciate very, very much. Here's Ted Cruz confronting the FBI director, Christopher Wray, about whether the FBI tipped off Hunter Biden ahead of the search of his property. Again, with Kash Patel in there, we'll finally get the answer to this question, among many other questions we have for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Cut 14.
Let me ask you also, the whistleblower testified that investigators wanted to execute a search warrant on a storage unit used by Hunter Biden, and instead they tipped off Hunter Biden's lawyer before the search warrant was carried out. Is it typical FBI practice to tip off the subject of a search warrant before the search warrant so they can remove any evidence that's incriminating?
What is typical is that when you're dealing with an individual who has a protective detail, it is typical for agents to be in contact with
the
subject's
protective detail. Does the protective detail guard the storage unit?
Again, I can't speak to the storage unit specifically, but I can tell you is that
why would the FBI tip off the subject of a search warrant about the storage unit that was going to be searched beforehand? Does that not undermine the very essence of an investigation that DOJ is purporting to undertake?
Again, I'm not going to be able to discuss specific investigative steps.
But who is? If you're not, nobody answers these questions, and it's why people are furious with the cover-up, because you don't believe the FBI is accountable to Congress or to the American people.
Your time is up. Director Wray has requested a 5-minute recess.
Yeah, well, he's about to get a big recess. See what I did there? Yeah. What will happen is he'll refuse to resign. Trump will fire him, and the Democrats will win back the House in 2026 and then impeach Trump in 2027 because they've learned no lessons. And then J.D. Vance will win in a landslide in 2028. Write that down. Okay? Put it in the bank. Put it in the little place where my predictions come true, except Doug Burgum. One more before we go to break on our happy hour here. Here is Kash Patel saying what he would do on day one with the FBI building. Day number one, cut 15.
Then we need to decrease what I call government creep with personnel. The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. and I take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and rapists and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion, looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
So a massive government reform.
Yeah. You got to work with Congress to eliminate the billets. This is one of the things we did when I was deputy DNI. We got to DNI and I was like, okay, what do all these people do? We've got the CIA, so why do I have analysts doing the CIA's job here? Why do I have a floor of them? Like, give me a good answer. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot. But if you can give me an answer that satisfies their existence, I'm all in. Well, we just have our own people. Okay, well, now we don't.
Yeah, good stuff. I got more of him and more reactions to him coming up. And your calls, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Listen, when it comes to your home, protection, peace of mind, craftsmanship, these things are paramount. That's why Emmons is my go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. And yes, they even have a bathroom division. And in our old home, Emmons remodeled our bathroom. It was great work that they did. They always do great work for me. Emmons will not only make your home look great from the curb, but they will. It will be stunning throughout the home because you will have the peace of mind that it's energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. And as you can tell by the weather today, winter is definitely coming. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So whether it is a durable, lifetime-warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10%. 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. Don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today, and remember, they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and they have worked on my home for 10 years. Well, unlike Bernie Sanders, I don't own multiple homes, but they came to my old house and they did the roof and the windows and the doors. And in our new house, they've replaced skylights and already a couple doors for us. So that's what I mean. I keep using them. I keep going back to them because their work is so good. So reach out to them today. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's a great one. It was the theme song to his show on HBO. Can't remember when. Long time ago. He was the best. He is the best. I mean, he's still alive, but he just doesn't do enough stand-up anymore. And, you know, he used to call him to the show all the time. It was great. And then I got to announce him on stage with Mark Stein for their Adorable Deplorable tour in PA twice, two different places, Reading and where's the other place? The one whose name I can never say. Right. Wilkes-Barre, that's the thing. That's the problem. So anyway, it was fun. I hope he'll come back on the show again. Hopefully he'll do something again. That'll be good. He's a genius, that guy. He really is. Speaking of very funny people, I'll be on with Jimmy Fallon Saturday night, Fox Across America. So tune in 10 p.m. live show Saturday night. This is big. This will be a good one. Especially because I may be on Percocets for it. It's very possible. So, obviously, I have to get surgery every year, sometimes multiple. This year's no exception. On Friday, I'm getting foot surgery. I can't even say it with a straight face. I'm getting foot surgery on Friday. Go ahead, Matt DeSantis. Go ahead.
That injury came out of nowhere. We didn't even know there was an issue with your feet. That's very interesting to me. I would have thought thumb. I know you had that injured thumb for an eternity. I don't even know if it healed.
I don't think it has. And maybe that'll be next year's surgery. I got to bank them. You know what I mean? I always got to be thinking ahead. Got to get my fix of propofol. I've had more propofol than Michael Jackson at this point in my life. I I have a bone spur on my toe. I can't even say this. I have a bone spur on my toe, and so they're going to take it off. I can't even say this. I feel this is not a very manly moment in my life, but yeah, so they're going to take it off on Friday. My wife wants to kill me. She's like, I didn't sign up for this. When I said sickness and health, I didn't mean sickness, health, and 15 surgeries. So that's Friday, and that's why I won't be on the air on Friday, in case you're wondering, all right? I'll be recovering from foot. So then on Saturday, thank God they're sending a car for me. I have to go up to New York and do Fox News Saturday night. So I may or may not be high on Percocet Saturday night. It'll definitely be worth tuning in, that's for sure. It'll be
even
a lot of
fun.
Even
if they drive you to New York, I imagine you still got to walk around a bit. Are you going to be able to with your reconstructed foot?
I don't know. I might be gimping it out. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. This whole thing could be a disaster. It really could be a disaster and end my TV career and possibly end Jimmy's show once and for all, you know? But either way, we'll go out with a bang, that's for sure. Yeah, bone spur on my toe, my big freaking toe, the captain of the toes. And then I said to the doc, I said, look, I met my deductible for the year. Can you, because I already had the other surgery of my sinuses, you know, of my deviated septum. So can you squeeze me in? You know what I mean? And he was able to get me in. So
I forgot about the sinus surgery. Yeah, you've already hit your quota. Is this going to count towards 2025?
No. And Bridget is making it very clear. This counts as 2024. This is two surgeries in 1 year. Yeah, this is unacceptable. So, I know. But I got 2025 lined up because it turns out this is on the right foot. The left foot also needs surgery. So I'm banking on that for 2025. Left foot toe surgery. So, and that's a whole joint thing. That's a whole, yeah. So we got that, which is nice. So
you're falling apart.
I may just transition at this point. What the hell? You know what I mean? I'm mostly a machine now at this point, like Darth Vader. Very little human left. Women are getting sterilized after Donald Trump's victory. It's saying it's their only option. And we have a peanut, the squirrel story, a big update on that. Rabies expert said, according to New York State's own data, it was insane to kill it and decapitate poor little peanut. Oh, poor little guy. I feel so bad for peanut. But anyway, before I get to peanut, let me do this. Let me grab a phone call because let's see here now. Patiently holding is Barb in Quakertown. Hello, Barb.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, yes. I just want to say, first of all, I love your show.
Thank you. I love your
wisdom and your humor. And I love Matt and used to be Henry. I guess he's still there. I don't know.
No, it's Justin now. But, Henry, it's a big upgrade from Henry. Huge.
Oh.
We traded Henry in for a better model.
Well, anyway, I agree with everything you said about the whole, how you laid it all out about the Biden family and the crime mob in Chicago, Obama. And I wasn't surprised at all that Hunter got pardoned. But my question is, he's never had to face any consequences for anything this kid has done, meaning Hunter. So most likely he's going to continue down the same path of drugging and getting in trouble with the law.
Yep.
So if that would happen, can they go back to a previous drug charge and use that against him?
No, not if he's pardoned for it. No, if you're pardoned, it's like it never happened.
Like
in terms of the court. What's that?
You mean like nothing ever happened?
Yeah, anything between 2014 and 2024 on the federal level, it's like it never happened. That's how absolute a pardon is. So they can't even use it to count it towards another offense, in other words.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know he's going to screw up again.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, he probably screwed up by now. We should probably do a tox on him at the... You know what I mean? He's probably drunk or high as we speak.
You're probably right.
My dad always said to me, a leopard can't change his spots. You know what I mean, Barb?
Exactly. Exactly right. You know, it's exactly what's going to happen. So, well, thanks for explaining that, because I wasn't quite sure about that, because I would really like to see some kind of justice served. And I don't think it's going to happen, like you said. It'll all go away. It'll be gone. But, you know, it just... It should happen, and as a mom, I would like to see it happen for his own good. The kid's a mess. He's just a mess, thanks to Joe and Jill. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. It's a crying shame. But they're also damn crooked.
I want to protect you, Barb. You have to say Dr. Jill, otherwise they'll arrest you.
Yes, I forget. You say that all the time. You talk about her. And I forget. Well, she won't be. I guess, is she doctor after they're out of the White House?
That's a good question. I don't know. Barb, thank you. I appreciate it, my dear. You have a great night.
Yes, and you have a good holiday coming up.
Thanks, Barb. Join us December 20th. We'll be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. So if you want to join us, it'll be a lot of fun. All right. I want to play this clip for you. This is, you know, I always say in life, you can judge somebody by the character of the company they keep. You can also judge somebody by their enemies. Andrew McCabe, who's one of the guys who led the Russia collusion charge. This is a guy who, of course, hates Trump. Used the Department of Justice against Donald Trump, and now he's a CNN guy, so, you know, they pay him for his Trump-hating nonsense, just like all the other deep state hacks like James Clapper and Comey and all these other people. Here he is now whining about Kash Patel, how dangerous he is. And I'll say this, if Andrew McCabe hates him, that's another reason to love him. Cut 16.
Andrew, I just want to start first with you and just get your reaction to this news tonight.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible development for the men and women of the FBI, and also for the nation that depends on a highly functioning, professional, independent Federal Bureau of Investigation. The fact that Kash Patel is profoundly unqualified for this job is not even like a matter for debate. So I think what we should really be thinking about right now is, what does this signal in terms of Donald Trump's intent for the FBI? The installation, or the nomination, I guess we should say at this point, of Kash Patel as FBI director can only possibly be a plan to disrupt, to dismantle, to distract the FBI, and to possibly use it as a tool for the president's political agenda.
See, if he's terrified, and the swamp is terrified, no doubt about it. You can definitely mark that down as another reason why you should love him. With a straight face, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on CNN, reacting to Trump nominating Kash Patel to FBI director, cut 19.
Official, I do want to ask you about President-elect Trump's decision to nominate Kash Patel as FBI director. I mean, as you know, he's a fierce Trump loyalist. He's vowed to go after the deep state. You have worked closely with the current FBI director. What do you think it would mean to have Kash Patel in that role?
Well, look, I'm not going to speak to President-elect Trump's nominees. I'll let him speak for his own rationale. What I will say is how the Biden administration has approached the position of FBI director. We inherited Director Chris Wray, who has done a very good job in the role, from President-elect Trump, who appointed him to a 10-year term. And what makes the FBI director different from most other nominees is they're not just appointed for one term of a president. They're appointed for enough time to last past two terms of a president, because they're supposed to be insulated from politics. President Biden scrupulously adhered to that longstanding bipartisan tradition, and for a good reason, because the FBI director should not be subject to the whims of the tos and fros of politics. But as for the announcement yesterday or the decisions President-elect Trump has made, they'll have to speak to that themselves.
By the way, he looks like even more of a mortician on camera if you're watching this. He really does. He's definitely the guy at the funeral home putting the bomb in the bodies. Jamie Raskin, claiming that he hasn't seen any proof the FBI of being weaponized against the GOP. I guess he hasn't talked to Mark Houck, for example, who had the FBI raid his home for praying outside an abortion clinic, or moms and other people and Catholics who were targeted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, people who walked into the Capitol building on January 6th and didn't even do anything wrong. Cut number 20.
Well, Christopher Wray, of course, is a Republican, appointed by a Republican, as he has said, but apparently has demonstrated too much the independence and objectivity in the job for Donald Trump, who wants much more of a personal loyalist in the position, and that's why he's gone to Kash Patel.
Do you think there are any issues inside the FBI around politicization, as many who voted for Donald Trump seem to say?
Well, undoubtedly, if you look at it historically, for example, during the COINTELPRO period, the FBI really was weaponized against Dr. King and the civil rights movement and the peace movement. There was, you know, decades of the FBI being basically used as a political instrument. There's an interesting book about that, about J. Edgar Hoover by yeah. Beverly Gage, that people can look at. I mean, and so I haven't seen what the proof is that the FBI has been weaponized against a political party or the Department of Justice. Of course, this Department of Justice has brought charges against a Democratic U.S. Senator in New Jersey, a Democratic congressman in Texas. And so some people just seem to think that it should go only in one direction. And if it doesn't, then somehow it's politicized.
You know what's amazing about that? This is what's amazing about that, is that we watched as the FBI raided the home of the former president of the United States of America, who is now the president-elect of the United States of America, and the FBI laid out things to make it look very nefarious, classified, all these little cover things. This is the most political FBI we have ever seen. I mean, they're doing stuff that makes J. Edgar Hoover literally fall out of his dress. So stop it already. You know it and I know it, and Kash Patel knows it, and that's why he's going to go in there and expose all this. That's why these people are terrified of this. And by the way, speaking of the FBI and this corrupt Department of Justice, you know who predicted that Joe Biden would pardon his son Hunter? President-elect Donald Trump. That's right. Before his landslide victory in November, he told Fox News back in October that Hunter would wind up getting a pardon. He called it cut number 5.
In the name of unity, would you consider pardoning Hunter Biden?
Well, I wouldn't do anything that would be overt in terms of Hunter. It's a sad situation. And I'll bet you the father probably pardons. Let's see what happens. But he's a bad boy. There's no question about it.
Yep, he's a bad boy, no doubt about it. But CNN's Eli Honig points out that this is going to tarnish Joe Biden's legacy. I disagree. I think what they'll do is they'll spin this and they'll tell everybody that he was a dad who had no choice because his son was targeted by people like Kash Patel, who would weaponize the DOJ against him. Biden had no choice but to be a loving father. But nevertheless, cut 4.
I want to read you something that the Democratic governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, posted about this. He's not okay with the move. He wrote in part, "I'm disappointed that he put his family ahead of the country. This is a bad precedent that could be abused by later presidents and will sadly tarnish his reputation." Does this pardon, does this damage the justice system?
Well, I totally agree with the governor that this pardon will tarnish Joe Biden's legacy. I mean, Joe Biden, let's be clear here. He lied to us for a long time. He said categorically, "I will not pardon my son." He said, "I will take it off the table." And he couched it in very high-minded terminology. "I respect the Justice Department. I respect the jury's verdict." Well, now he's gone back on that. I don't know how many people actually believed him. I certainly didn't. There's tape of me saying there's no way he's going to make good on this. He's absolutely going to pardon Hunter Biden. But as to whether this tarnishes the justice system, I don't think I would go that far. I think this, like I said, will go down on the list of ignominious presidential pardons, but I don't think law students 50 or 100 years from now are going to look back at this as a horrific miscarriage of justice that undermines the foundation of our justice system. There is a reasonable argument that in some respects Hunter Biden was treated unfairly, and I think that will give Joe Biden some degree of cover here.
Oh, man. You know why those law students will read that 50 years from now? Because the law universities, you know, the law schools will have a bunch of lefty professors who will frame it that way. That's the truth. This is never, as John Yoo said earlier in the show, a constitutional scholar, this is never how the framers intended the pardon power to be used by the president. And this pardon is a cover-up of Joe Biden's crimes. Make no mistake, as I've been saying throughout the show today, this is a pardon for Joe Biden. Yes, it's Hunter's name on it, but Hunter was going to squeal and rat out the old man. This is a pardon to protect Joe Biden. Period. Anybody who doesn't see that is an idiot. But here's Karine Jean-Pierre on Air Force One today, saying Biden has always been truthful to the American people, even after he lied a billion times about not pardoning his son. And she lied, too. Cut number one.
You have said repeatedly yourself since the election, the president has said for months, no pardon was coming. I wanted to ask you, could those statements now be seen as lies from the American people? Is there really a credibility issue here given now this announcement?
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes. And if you see the end of his, I assume that you've read his statement, and you look at the end of that statement, and he actually says that in the first line in the last paragraph, and respects the thinking and how the American people will actually see this in his decision making. And I would encourage everyone to read in full the president's statement. I think he lays out his thought process. He lays out how he came to this decision. He came to this decision this weekend. So let's be very clear about that. He says it himself. It's in his voice. He said he came to this decision this weekend. And he said he wrestled with this. And because he believes in the justice system, but he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Unbelievable. What a crock. He knew his son was going to squeal. He knew that Kash Patel and Pam Bondi were going to come after him. And he pardoned himself vis-a-vis his son. Do not doubt me on that. Big fourth and final hour straight ahead. Thank you for watching us stream on YouTube. This is the big story brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. If you're hesitant about getting that complex dental procedure, call Dr. Mike for a second opinion. He'll put your mind at ease. Schedule your free consultation, 856-786-2020. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.